You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Someone has said, to err is human. To blame someone else is even more human. The blame game is as old as humanity. It goes on all the time today. A child falls from a playground slide in the town park. The mother sues the town. Should the mother have been watching the child and have been ready to catch him if he would fall? Wasn't that her responsibility? Perhaps now the town will have to remove all the slides from their parks, tear up the asphalt playground, and pour wood chips around instead. That's going to take away a lot of fun and make it tough to play marbles and maybe even basketball there. A woman dies alone in an unheated apartment during the winter. The son and daughter of the woman consider taking legal action against the gas company. What about those children? Should they have kept in closer contact with their elderly mother who was living alone? Wasn't that their responsibility? When things happen, we like to blame someone else. We're human. That's no excuse. It's the reason for the season of Advent, to recognize our humanity and prepare for the celebration of Christmas with recognition of ourselves as we are. The call of Advent is to repentance. The response to Advent is like that of the psalmist when he said at a crucial moment in his own life, I recognize my faults. I'm always conscious of my sins. I've sinned against you, God, and done what you consider evil. Remove my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit in me. Give me again the joy that comes from your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Often the response to human failing, human sin, and even human rebellion is much like Adam's. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Or Eve's, the serpent beguiled me, and I ate. Only today we blame our glands, our genes, our chromosomes. We blame the home, the school, the church, the government, and other nations. The East blames the West, and the West blames the East. The Jews blame Arabs, and Arabs blame Jews. Blacks blame whites, and whites blame blacks. Everybody tries to blame everybody else for the deficit. When the stock market crashes, everybody looks for somebody else to blame. The public blames law enforcement agencies for the drug traffic, and the enforcement people blame the state of society today. A young student at a university was forced to overdrink. He drank himself dead. A commentator on the news spouted this piece of wisdom about that event. Society, he said, is to blame. Getting close to home, everybody becomes a fitting target for blame. My father never cared about me. That's why I am what I am. My mother made all kinds of mistakes in bringing me up. It's her fault. My parents did not love me. That's why I turned to crime. A wife complains, my husband shows little interest in me, and the husband blames the wife. She gets upset over little things. Here's a little vignette from Campus Life of 1981, a young man writing, whenever Judy blew it, she always blamed others. When I picked her up for a date and had to wait 45 minutes, she never even said she was sorry. My brother hogged the shower was the best she could do. Whenever she botched a test at school, it was because her sister wouldn't leave her alone to study, or because her parents had their bridge partners over and they got too noisy. When she forgot to add the yeast to a loaf of bread, it was because her mother distracted her. Then there was the time she slammed her car into a parking lot lamppost. My dumb dad, she blurted, he said he would adjust my brakes, but never did. When it comes right down to it, nobody does anything wrong. Ultimately, there's only one to blame, God. He's ultimately responsible, isn't he? Blame him. Advent deals not only with the cop-outs like that, but also with the washouts. The wonder of it all is that God did take the blame right into his own heart. He did not sit high above earth, untouched by human history, advising people, grin and bear it. At Christmas, we come head to head with God, and even heart to heart. With the birth of his own son, the apple of his eye, God takes the blame. He took the rap when that son died all unselfishly, without a thought for himself. Not for what he had done or failed to do, but for what we have done and have failed to do. Having no sin at all, he became the guilty one. As St. Paul said, God made him who knew no sin at all to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. By his kindness, God calls people to repentance. Often they refuse, preferring to blame someone else instead of shouldering the responsibility for what they have done. Sometimes just to satisfy themselves without a thought for meeting even the most elementary will of the eternal God. After having tried to brave out his sin by stonewalling it for a whole year or more, the psalmist finally was brought face to face with the sin he had committed, a real sin, not only against God, but against other people. Now he took a different tack. The time of fault-finding and buck-passing was finally over. He faced up to himself and to God. I have sinned against you, God, he said, and have done what you consider evil. Remove my sin, and I will be clean. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit within me. The time for cover-up is past, and the time for laying it on the line has come. Christmas is approaching. The kingdom of God is on the way. The time has come to come clean with yourself and with God. It's the only way to celebrate the coming of the Savior of the world. It's the only hope for what the Bible always calls salvation, freedom from the guilt of sin, and recovery of the joy of salvation, without which life becomes what it often is, a dreary rehearsal, day by day, of death. Said the psalmist, give me again the joy that comes from your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Now that's a different way of looking at things. It comes from faith in God and hope toward God. It may not fit in with the way things are done these days, but it's the only way for joy to come flooding in from God himself by his grace in the redemption he has himself prepared through the coming of his Son, whom he sent to atone for sin in order to restore the joy of his salvation. Finding fault with others is not the way. Finding fault with others, you earn no respect, either from God or from those around you. Fault-finding is most likely to be the final proof that the fault is really yours. I happen to be a Lutheran, but like Martin Luther, first and foremost, I'm a follower of Christ. The first step on the road of following Christ is repentance. The first thesis of the 95 Martin Luther pinned to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg in 1517 commanded consideration by his contemporaries. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he meant that the whole life of a Christian should be repentance. This is exactly what John said in his first letter. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There you have it. God sees your sin. Why is it that you cannot see it? Have you built a veneer around your whole life, playing the blame game for all it's worth, finding fault with others to justify yourself, playing the transparent blame game, which brings only sarcastic smiles to the faces of those who know you best? Who's being fooled here anyway? Friends? Family? God? Do I have to answer that question for you, or can you answer it for yourself? Ordinary people, with ordinary honesty, understood Jesus very well when he told them, in ordinary human terms, how the blame game looked to him. Why do you look for the speck in your brother's eye, he said, and pay no attention to the 2x4 that is in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, please let me take that speck out of your eye, when you have a 2x4 in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the 2x4 out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see more clearly how to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The only answer to that game is genuine repentance that comes from the heart. It's the turning of mind and heart from self to God. It is seeing the rot in yourself that you're always laying at the door of somebody else. It is a 180-degree turn from self-justification to the justification that God Himself offers through faith in His Son Jesus. It's the beginning of a new life, which St. Paul summarized as repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Fault fighting is a human failing. Faith is a God-given thing. Accepting His forgiveness, as the psalmist did. I recognize my faults, and I'm always conscious of my sins. Remove my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. The road of repentance and faith is not easy. Nobody ever said it would be. The paths are crowded all the time with one more shot at the blame game, like the fellow who said, I never make mistakes, only perfect errors. H.V. Adult wrote in Forbes magazine, we are all manufacturers in a way, making good, making trouble, and making excuses. God waits for you, my friend, as a father waits for his wayward son to come home. All the way home, after he had come to himself in the story Jesus told, the son kept rehearsing what he was going to say to his father. Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. The father in the story told by Jesus put his arm around that son because the one who was lost had now been found, and the one who died had come back alive. There is hope, confidence, and certainty in the plea of the psalmist. Have mercy on me, O God. Hear me according to your abundant mercy. The man who wrote this psalm did not hesitate to call what characterized his life before this turning point as transgression, the sin of conscious rebellion and willful revolt, as iniquity, the continual making of mistakes, as sin, the missing of the mark, falling short of the goal which God sets up for you to hit, as it misses the goal you set up for yourself to hit. Big man that he is, the psalmist offers a remarkable confession of sin, asking God to blot out, to wipe out, and to erase as words on a page, a washing, purifying, no matter how painful the process may be, a cleansing, making fit to appear before God Himself, being made clean. Sin is not just something others do, condemned in harsh terms when others do it. Sin is its own condemnation. It produces its own results. The ends thereof, as we are finding out these days, are the ways of death. Sin is dangerous and deadly. It weakens spiritually, psychologically, and physically. It disrupts relationships with God and with other people. The wages of sin, as St. Paul said, is most certainly death. Then Paul went on to say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God forgave the writer of this psalm, David, a murderer and an adulterer. He forgave Peter, who denied him. He forgave the disciples who deserted him. He forgave those who crucified him that day. Jesus forgives in the name of the mighty God who sent him to be the Savior of the world. When Jesus forgives, God forgives. Forgiveness is like a magnet drawing people from the hold sin and death have upon them to God's embrace of love and forgiveness, which are His and His alone to give. To say I'm just human, I can't help it, is a cop-out, a refusal to face reality. Now comes the reality of Christmas. Celebrated as the birthday of Jesus, not just another blowout organized by people who continue to play the blame game, sinking deeper into the morass which sucks people into its tentacles and eventually suffocates them. Celebrate Christmas, my friend, as the forgiven child of God he wants you to be. Repent. The kingdom of God is on the way. Believe the gospel and be saved from the games people play to escape the truth about themselves. Sense the truth of God, which is in his Son, opening hearts, redeeming lives, and restoring the joy of salvation to uphold you with a willing and a hearty spirit. Forget the low road, blaming others for your failures. Take the high road, focusing on God and celebrating the birthday of his Christ, born to bring good news from God to permeate your life with the glory of his presence and the brightness of his splendor. Pray with me now as the psalmist prayed. Unsin me, O God. Forgive me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create a pure heart within me, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit in my very bones. Give me again the joy that comes from your salvation. Make me your willing child, ready to obey you. With that kind of repentance and with such faith in God, get ready for some surprisingly good news from an angel. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For you there is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.